without sharing the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God must go forth. And when we share the Word of God, it honors God because we are speaking about His Word. Amen. So we're going to take this time. I promise you to be to speak as quickly as I can. My wife says I speak very slowly. So I'm going to take, not going to take 1 hour, okay? I'll do my best, right? So I'm going to talk about leadership, okay? Because Jeremy asked me to talk about leadership. Actually asked us, all the elders. But I don't know why he himself didn't speak about leadership. And then Chun also talk about something else like Valentine, you know what? So, as you can see, amongst the elders, I'm the most compliant one. So I listen to the lead elders' instruction to talk about leadership. The reason he asked us to talk about leadership because we are in the process of installing deacons. Yeah. So we have gone through that, why we want to do that. And this message is really to give the deacons an encouragement, right, about leading. I get a chance to talk to one of the deacons, potential deacons, right? And I felt that in his heart, he felt that he is so unqualified. He has so many weaknesses and blah, blah, blah. I felt the same thing when God called me to lead the church, right? So, because of that, I put this message together to encourage the potential deacons, right? So, the title of my message is Leading with Disadvantages. Or for those of you who are not going to be deacons, right? You can substitute the word leading with living. Living with disadvantages. Okay, or you can call this sermon, this title, Leading or Living as Underdogs, right? So, however you want to put it. And the scripture is taken from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24-28. It is the sayings of Agur. The sayings of Agur. Let me read to you. Starting verse 24, he says, four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Hyraxes are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the cracks. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in kings' palaces. And these are the sayings of Agur, the sage, the wise man. And I believe that we can learn a lot of things from him about leadership, about living successfully. There is this guy by the name of Vivek Ranadive. Ranadive, right? Okay, Vivek Ranadive. Okay, most of you may not know him because he's probably not a very famous person. And he's an Indian that migrated to America and to the Silicon Valley for a better life. And he has a daughter by the name of Anjali. And Anjali was recruited to be in the basketball team of her school. And then the school found that there is no teacher teaching basketball. So they call Vivek Ranadive to be the basketball teacher, the basketball coach. But Rana, okay, I call him Rana, easier, right? Rana has never played basketball before. He only played cricket and soccer. And he looked at his team, right? These girls, only two of them played basketball before. And the rest of the players never played. And they are mostly from the... they are like nerds, you know. They are from the techie family. And they don't know how to dribble. And they can't even score. And basketball is just not their game. And And then you know how basketball is being played, right? How many of you know how to play basketball here? Well, quite a number. Okay, so you help me. I don't play basketball. Okay, the way it's being played is the court is 94 feet. Am I right? 94 feet. Okay, 94 feet, yeah? The way it's being played is that Team A, they score. And then what Team A will do is Team A will retreat back to about 24 feet and then let the other guys attack. And then Rana said, if this is going to be the way we're going to play basketball, we're going to lose. There's no chance for my girls. Right? They're going to just let them attack and we will die, right? So he thought about it and he said, we're going to play basketball in another way, in an unconventional way. So he talked to his girls and he said, girls, we're going to change the name of the game. We're going to take the opponent's full court and we're going to do man-to-man marking. As long as they get the ball, everybody will mark man by man. And from the 94 feet, right? From that full court, we're going to block them man to man. And that strategy actually caught all the opponents off guard. And they were complaining, this is not the way basketball is being played, right? But you know what? This team actually went on and they won the championship by playing the unconventional way. And about 3,000 years ago, I think we all know about this story of David and Goliath. David fought Goliath in the similar fashion, in an unconventional way of fighting. And that really caught Goliath by surprise. Because when Goliath was out at the battlefield, he was expecting David to come and wear armor and with spears and with sword to fight him in his game. But Goliath was shocked when David came in his own clothing with a sling and with a pouch. And we all know that story. The very famous statement that David made, he said, you come to me with sword and spears, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he slayed that giant. My brothers and sisters, the message, the point that I want to make to you is that there is an advantage in disadvantages. There is advantage in disadvantages. Do you know what I'm saying? We just need to discover. We just need to know how to lead and to live with the disadvantage that we have and find the advantages for us to be successful. And this is what Agur said about four creatures that he named for us. He said, four things on earth are small. They are very small creatures. But they are extremely wise. Small, but very wise. And he went on to say, ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. You know, I think all of us know ants, right? We have ants here. And we have ants in our kitchen. By the way, honey don't attract ants. Yeah, seriously, you try that, okay? Ants are small and insignificant. But do you know something about ants? Ants will never grow hungry. Think about it for a second. Ants will never grow hungry. My brothers and sisters, even human beings grow hungry. There are organizations like World Vision and all the organizations are trying to feed a hungry world. But the Bible tells us that ants, they don't grow hungry. And there is so much wisdom in this very little creature that human beings can learn from them. And then there is this creature called Hyraxus, okay? And when I did this sermon, I never knew what a Hyrax is. And I have seen mouse, rodents. What are Hyraxus? Sometimes it is called rock badger. And it is also called coney, right? Coney is the word that you read in the Bible. It appeared in several places, yeah. So it's referring to the same creature. And this creature lives in the Middle East and Africa. And if you look at this creature here, it has no strength. Little strength. No might. But you know what? The Bible tells us that this creature lives in safety. Think about it for a moment. Safety. Is safety very important today to human beings? Safety is so important. Don't the world try to solve a safety problem? Even the world's superpower do not have a solution to contain ISIS. The world is constantly under threat. People do not feel safe. But the Bible tells us that this little creature called the Hyrax has the answer. You know how they are being, how they keep themselves safe? They build their homes in the cracks, in a cliff. What's the word for it? The mountain slope. Even the eagles and the snake will have problem attacking this little creature. So this creature really know how to live in safety. And then there is this thing here called the locusts, yeah, or the grasshoppers. Chinese called chao mek gong, grasshoppers. Right. What is this creature here, chao mek gong, you know? Small, helpless. And I feed my fish with grasshoppers. But my brothers and sisters, when these creatures, they come together in a big group, they become very, very powerful. The Bible says they advance together. You know, the Bible tells us that even Pharaoh, in his mightiness, he has the vast army and he was in control of Egypt, couldn't defend the attack of the locusts. This is how powerful this little creature is. And one of the things to take note of is this creature has no leader. Wow. Leaderless. How do they organize an attack if there is no leader? It's strange, isn't it? Think of an organization with no leader. Think of a church where there is no leader. How can an organization advance? This guy by the name of Ori Bruffman and Rod Beckstrom, they wrote a book called The Starfish and the Spider. It's talking about the emergence of leaderless organizations in the world. He said that traditional organizations have a CEO and it's kind of a top-down kind of thing. But today, the world has organizations where There are no leaders. Can you name one? For example, ISIS. Who is the real leader for ISIS? Tell me a name. There's no name. Al-Qaeda had Osama bin Laden. But ISIS has no name. Who is the real leader? This is affirming what the Bible says. I believe that the Word of God is true. 100% true. Even though sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. But the world is already seeing a powerful force. And Ori Brafman, he likened these leaderless organizations to the starfish. You know starfish, if you cut the starfish into two, the starfish will become two starfishes. Starfish. If you cut the starfish into four, the starfish will become four starfish. So he said these leaderless organizations are like the starfish. They multiply very quickly. If you kill somebody who tried to bomb somewhere from ISIS, you will not stop them. It's going to multiply. How do you deal with this kind of problems? Versus the traditional organizations, it's like the spider. Once you cut the spider into half, the spider will die. And then there is this guy here, Mr. Lizard. I hate lizards. My wife hates lizards. What can lizards do? Yeah? Small creature, weak. Oh, nuisance, right? Always poo. Yet you think about lizards. Lizards live in high places. They get to go to the Istana. That many of us don't even get to go in. Yeah. So these are all the wonderful creatures that Agur brought up to teach us lessons about living, lessons about leadership. And he tried to bring across a point that small is not equals to weak. Small is not weak. Weak is not hopeless. You know what? Disadvantages are not really a disadvantage if you don't let them be a disadvantage to you. Don't say, I am small, I am weak, I can't do this, I'm not educated. Instead of just looking at your weakness, looking at what you cannot do, look to God. Why God has made us like that? I have so many stories to tell you. Each time when I go and minister in Eden Handicap Center, instead of me ministering to them, they minister to us. This message keeps on coming to me. Look at these people who are disabled. They can do so many things that I can't do. They pray so earnestly. Don't let your disadvantage be a disadvantage. But find an advantage in your disadvantages. Be creative. Let God work through your weakness and turn it into a strength. Just to give you an example, when it was back in 2010, FPBC. And I stood up here together with my wife and said, Church, we are sorry. I think that God is saying to us, not saying to me, not to quit my job and go full time. I know you all are expecting to have a full time pastor, but we felt that God is not asking us to do this. I am willing to step down and let another person be a leader. If you want a full-time pastor, if you are okay for me to go on, we will pray and we will ask God and we will think of a way to move forward with whatever limitations that we have. And the church gave their full support and trust to me at that time. And I'm very grateful. And I'm very thankful for that. When I decided to stay bivocational, I knew that I cannot function like another church pastor. Because I have disadvantages. I don't have the time. I cannot function 9 to 5 in the office. It has to be different. Things have to be changed. Especially the leadership structure. It has to be changed if we're going to move on. It was that time that we went to God's Word. We didn't have the answer. Honestly, we didn't know about a church can function like what we are functioning today. We didn't know. But I can tell you that one day, I do not know when and how, I was inspired by the story of the geese. And you know this creature here? He lives in Canada, right? Bob Paget is here? No. And these geese, they will migrate during the fall in Canada to escape winter. They go south. And when they travel in a V shape like this, in a group. It's lovely, isn't it? How can this creature know all these things, you know? Surely there is some wisdom in them. A God-given wisdom. And then much later, I do not call the people who study about animals, right? They begin to study into this and they discover that when the geese fly in V-shape like this, they have the speed. They have the endurance. And you know this little creature, and they fly like this, they can fly like a Kalisa. The speed of a Kalisa at about 100 kilometers per hour. 100 kilometers per hour, that's very fast. It's going to knock me and I'm going to die. And this creature can fly for 2,400 kilometers a day without stopping. How did they manage that? And then, you know what? One of the things that this creature does is that they change leaders. Every don't know how many minutes, the leader in front will go behind. And then this another guy will take over the leadership. I thought this is incredible. This is nature. God surely has something to teach us. I was so excited when I got this revelation. And I went to a senior leader and I said, I think God is saying this to us. What do you think? He said, you're crazy. How can you change leaders all the time? Where is the direction and all that? But I never gave up. At that time, we were not ready. But today, I think we are more ready. It doesn't matter who leads. I'm talking about human being. As long as Jesus is the head of the church. The reason I like this is because Jesus is always the head of the church. The problem with many churches is that the leader has taken over the position of Jesus in the church. My brothers and sisters, I dare not do that. I want Jesus, not human being, any human being, no matter how smart, how clever you are, how well you can speak, don't take the glory of God. I think we can rotate. Any of the leaders can take over and be the lead elder. And the church will go on. The vision will still be the same. And we will still be the city on a hill. And in that way, Ferris Park Baptist Church, it doesn't matter whatever happened to the leader. It will still go on. It will still charge on and do the purposes of God. And this is the legacy that I want to see and want to. I have deviated from what I wanted to tell you. But the point that I really want to make to you is that even though it seemed hopeless, Ferris Park is not like another church. No full-time pastor. But because of that, we have found our advantage. We have found what we are doing today because of that limitation that we have. Do you see that? And there is no guarantee that we will change again. Because Jesus is the head. When He tells us to change, we change. No question about it. Our responsibility is to hear and obey the Master. That's our responsibility. That was the past. But how about the future? You know, a few weeks ago, the leaders and the deacons, potential deacons, we gathered and we talked about future. 20 years, 30 years from now, what do we predict the church to be? What will be the odds that are stacked against us? Even today, you know what's happening to us today? Slowly, little by little, we are losing our religious freedom. And we live in a world that is so different from 20 years ago. And today we have the internet. People say that internet is a disruptive technology. Many businesses were killed by the internet. And also many new businesses emerge because of the internet. What about the church? You know, there are people today, now, they don't have to come to Sunday service to listen to message. They can listen online. They can listen to anybody. How does Elvin Chu and Jeremy Chu stack up? How do we stack up against Joseph Prince? Of course we are. We can't preach like him. How do we reorganize ourselves to make sure that the church continues to be relevant and continue to be at its cutting edge, fulfilling the great commission that our Master has given us to make disciples of all nations. Things may have to change, church. We have to dig in, dig deep, and see what we have, and continue to hear God for the future of our church. But I can tell you, church, that the leaders that we have, they are not power crazy leaders. They fear Jesus. And they are already thinking about the future. And someone in that group say, in future, we think that the church location does not matter anymore. We may not gather here, but the church will still be gathering. Maybe. We don't know. When it is time for us to move, we move. We go with God. We constantly want to fulfill what God has asked us to do. I think it's about time. Let me end by showing you a video, okay? And this video clip is called McFarland. Okay, McFarland is the name of a place in California. How many of you know McFarland? How many of you have watched the movie McFarland? It's a great movie. I encourage you to watch it by Kevin Costner. And I've been to Bakersfield, right? I travel from North California, from San Francisco to South California, and I passed through Bakersfield. Yeah, and it's a farming town. A farming town. And mostly Hispanic people. And the people there, they have nothing else. They come from the field, and they grow up, they go back to the field. And some people say these people are invincible in a negative sense. They are not motivated. What is there for them in life that they can look forward to? And then there was this coach, PE teacher, right? In another school, he coached this football team. And then one of his players defied him, and he got angry and he whacked the guy. And then he was transferred to this town, McFarland, with his head like that, reluctantly. A man like this, and together with a group of unmotivated children. But they did not let their disadvantages be a disadvantage to them. But together, they found their advantage in cross-country running. And they went all the way to become national champions. Not for just 1 year, but consecutively for many years. Until today, this town has become famous. Because they have found their advantage in their disadvantages. They did not allow that underdog tech to tie them down. But they inspired themselves to become national champions. Have a look at the video.
Welcome to McFarland. This is a farming town. These kids working here are invisible. They come from the fields and they go back to the fields. Mr. White, if we're going to reach him, now's the time. Have a good day.
I'm Coach White, your new PE teacher.
Diaz. Popular name where you guys come from?
White. Is that a popular name where you come from?
All right, run a lap. Go.
They're fast.
Yeah.
Cross-country running. California is holding their first state championship this year.
You do understand we don't have a cross-country team?
Yep.
You've coached cross-country before?
No.
You competed in high school, maybe?
No.
Well, you sound perfect.
Anybody seen Danny?
Danny Diaz? Hey, we needed seven. Yeah, seven runners, not six runners, and Danny Diaz.
Hey, you're our anchor, Danny, and not because you're fat.
And you are a little fat, okay? So we better lose some weight. Let's go. Just try and remember, lowest score wins. Like golf.
We don't got a country club. We don't even got a Kmart.
Didn't know McFarland had a team.
Fourth place. That's not too shabby.
Fourth out of four. Also known as last.
Better luck next time, boys.
This is going to come down to which runners can handle the pain.
Let's hit it again.
Mr. White,
each hour that my boys train with you, they do not work with me. That's food off our table.
No one stays in McFarland unless they have to.
There ain't nothing American dream about this place.
I'm guessing running's the best thing you've got. Me too. What's going on?
Team fundraiser.
My boys need new uniforms.
You are a good man, and so I'm helping you. Okay, now go shower. Oof.
I'll be honest with you. The odds are stacked against us. You guys are superhuman. There's nothing you can't do with that kind of strength, with that kind of heart. Let's go show them how it's done.
I want to tear down the walls and hold me inside.
Uno, dos, tres.
Tell your father it was an honor to be invited into his home.
Dad, he said it was an honor to be invited into your home.
Tell him I say thanks.
Well, the streets have no name.
Hallelujah. Let us close by just giving thanks to God. And I want to read to you this psalm from Psalm 8. Shall we all stand together as we read this psalm to glorify the name of our God? Hallelujah. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemy to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers of the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And all God's people say, Amen. Hallelujah. Give God a clap offering.